Welcome to episode 127 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. It's Tuesday, the 5th of September, 2017. We got a kick-ass show for you today, and my name is Wayne.
Do we ever, and my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies, sometimes television, in order of awesomeness, so you do not have to. And Wayne, Hitman's Bodyguard
is the film
that we're reviewing today.
I was looking forward to this for many a day, year, week,
month. Great marketing campaign behind
it. I loved it.
And we saw it separately, so we have no idea.
That's right. I'm quite surprised. Yeah, I want to see what you think.
Yeah, me too with you.
Yeah, so
and
what else?
In a non-related, I should say, sorry to talk all over you there.
Go ahead.
Non-related countdown. We're doing our third versus episode.
Yes.
Which is today we are going to crown for you, the listeners, once and for all, the superiors. Overall, are original films better or their remakes? Now, if you haven't listened to it, go back, listen to our Arnie versus Sly, our 80s versus 90s action films episodes, and you'll get a sense of how this works. But for all intensive purposes, we will explain it. But we have the definitive system. No questions asked, no more discussion needed. We are doing the heavy lifting for you.
Right, so you know which one to watch.
Well, which series of films are better? Is everyone right? I say everyone. Are most people right? Are the originals best? Or is the postmodern sort of new way of doing
new
things,
shit
remakes better? Now, I'm going to guess that you and I have a difference of opinion here.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Because I know which end I come down on.
And I know, and we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Now, for new listeners, welcome to the show. It's
Hello.
A pleasure to have you here. Wayne and I do not discuss our lists. We are going to count from 10 to 1 in the category of originals versus remakes. After we review The Hitman's Bodyguard, and everything is completely unscripted.
Yeah.
We want to emphasize that because not that anyone's accused us, but they do suggest that we might play it up a little bit.
Oh, really?
No, it's not at all the case.
You couldn't possibly script this shit anyway. Like, imagine writing the shit I'm saying now. Forget about it.
Forget about it. There is an unofficial third member of the podcast I'd like to reintroduce you to as well. It is, of course, our friend, the soundboard, who's back after last week.
Your Caleb friend, fuckface.
Dan did a wonderful job of emulating the soundboard for us.
I preferred that.
Here is the real thing.
Suck my dick.
Yeah, there it's a piece of shit, everyone. It's a piece of shit.
Yes. Okay. Look, let's get a little bit of the social media out of the way with first today.
Okay, sure.
Wayne, so that the new listeners can work out how to get in contact with us, because as you will hear, we are a very listener-based show as well.
Find us on Facebook by searching for The Countdown Movie and TV Reviews on there, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We are on pretty much all podcatching apps. We're on Twitter at TheCountdownPC, and of course on iTunes, where Apple Podcasts is what's now known, you can leave reviews for us there. Now, we have got a little bit of a competition going at the moment. If you leave the right number of reviews,
I forgot about this.
Was 130 worldwide reviews, which we passed, well and truly passed. So thank you to everyone who has reviewed the show. And we were asking for 50 of those to be from Australia. We had another one.
What, were you going to read it? Okay.
And this is from DHunter999 with the heading, hilarious. Stumbled upon this podcast a couple of weeks ago and am hooked.
Oh.
Reviews are solid, but the countdowns are where it's at. The back and forth banter between these two longtime mates is absolute gold. Irreverent, intelligent, and utterly entertaining. Highly recommended.
Is this an unsolicited review by someone who doesn't know us?
Are you attempting to suggest that of the 133 reviews we have around the world, I've solicited them all?
No. But I'm wondering about this one. This seems like a stranger,
I do
yes?
not know DHunter999. It's
nice.
Definitely not just me.
What's up, DHunter? Thanks for, all that shit.
Thank you. Glad
to have you aboard.
We will be reading any other reviews, because once we get to 50, that's 48 now in Australia.
Shit, I forgot about
When we get to 50, Wayne and I are going to release the two trailers for our film we made 22
trailers
years ago. Yes, both the teaser and the real trailer.
Oh, for God's sake.
Two more reviews, that's all that's required.
This is a piece of shit movie that we did when we were in our 20s.
It's embarrassing as shit.
It's fucking Telstra, man. It's shit house.
But our hardcore listeners are chafing at the bit.
Damn it. All right, we'll see how it goes.
Okay. And that is our social media indicators, or indeed how you get back in touch with us. So, let's move on to the first segment, something that we call the recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recap?
told us to eat a dick this week.
Completely inappropriate because today is Father's Day in Australia. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
Hello, fathers. I know you're very strong.
And of course, I am one of those fathers. So a little bit out of the blue here, but it's not really straightforward feedback. But I got some feedback from my daughter during the week.
How old is your daughter?
She is 4 and almost a half.
Okay.
And here's what she wrote at kindy, which they put together a little thing all about my dad. So here is some inaccurate, mostly information about me. She got my name right, which is good. How old is your dad? 37. That's nice.
Nice.
Very nice. How much does your dad weigh? Super heavy. Heavy as a house. Rough.
Paul is not heavy, everyone.
Very rough. What's your dad's job? Studying. What does your dad do around the house? This one pissed off my girlfriend. Cleaning. Cleaning dishes.
You mean you don't do that?
I don't do as much as her. That's right, absolutely true. Right. What is your dad's favorite food? Sandwiches. He likes chicken sandwiches.
What? Your Joey Tribbiani. Nice.
Then we get to the completely inaccurate stuff. What is your dad's favorite drink? Coffee. Actually, the chicken thing was probably not right either. But what's your dad's favorite drink? Coffee. I haven't had a coffee.
Yeah, Paul doesn't drink coffee. He's one of those weirdos.
Yeah. What is your dad's favorite TV program? Soccer. I'm a diehard Australian rules football fan.
Doesn't know anything about soccer.
The mix up there. Where does your dad like to go? This is accurate. To the movies?
Sure. Yep. Nice.
And why do you love your dad? Because he gives me hugs.
Oh, that's nice.
There we go. I thought I'd just give a little shout out to my daughter. Thank you, Kaylee. Okay, then. So this week's recount kicks off with a little message for you, Wayne.
Oh, really?
From Gidget Von LaRue, host of the Retro Cinema Podcast. Big fan and, big tweeter to us about the show.
It's wonderful. Gidget fingers me every now and then.
And loves you every other time.
Sure.
Wayne, being born before movies is no fucking excuse not to watch them. Or being born after them, mate, I think. My mum raised me on 40s movies and I was born in 1970. So she's basically suggesting that you need to expand your movie watching repertoire.
I would agree. I just have a little problem with context whenever I watch old movies. Right. But you're right.
Then from David Powell, who's a relatively new listener, he wanted to give us his top 10 TV episodes, which we did a while back. So he's going back through our back catalogue, right?
Yeah, okay.
So I'm not going to read everything because he's written quite the long response here, but there's some amazing stuff. His number one, MASH, Goodbye, Farewell, and Amen, the heartbreaking finale for the MASH TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Scrubs, My Screw Up, the Brendan Fraser death episode.
Yeah.
Pretty also amazing. Three, from Buffy, Hush, which just beat out Once More with Feeling for him as his favorite. From number four, from Lost, one of the most renowned episodes, The Constant.
Which is that one?
It's all about Desmond, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And his relationship with Penny.
Right.
Five, from The Prisoner, Chimes. I don't familiar with this. Chimes of Big Ben. He says it's the greatest show of all time.
Hmm.
Then the miniseries called Edge of Darkness, which I do believe they made a Mel Gibson film.
Yeah.
Based on that. From seven, number seven, Twin Peaks, Lonely Souls, or Beyond Life and Death. Eight, Doctor Who Blink, which was a pretty good episode about these statues. I think I'm getting this one right. Sorry, David. These statues that can only move if you are not looking at them.
Oh.
Which is creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they kill you, of course.
Of course.
Number nine, any of a number of goodies eps, but probably Kung Fu Capers.
I actually know the one you're talking about.
Actually died laughing when it first aired. How do you top that?
Fair enough.
Thank you for that, David. Now, look, we do have to do a little bit of feedback about, or not feedback, a bit of clean-up administration about last week's episode. We do our weekly list, obviously, and we ask our Countdown listener community on Facebook, so head on over there and join up if you haven't already, to vote for who had the best.
Oh, right, yeah.
Here it is then, from worst to best. Wayne, have you seen this at all during the week?
I think I gandered at it several times during the week.
Okay, you did, so you were aware of how it's gone.
I haven't seen it for 3 days.
Nothing's changed.
Okay.
Let's just be honest. Coming in dead, motherless last, is me.
Yeah, boy!
With people not liking the fact that I hate Jurassic Park quite clearly, and apparently Forrest Gump was divisive at best.
No shit.
I scored only 5 votes. From Caleb, then, one of the guest co-hosts from Netflix until last week, he came in second last with 6 votes. Coming in third last, then, Dan.
Ooh!
With 8 votes, and Wayne, a clear winner, with 14 votes. Never in doubt. Well done, sir.
This is like what, the second one I've won? I don't know. I believe
it's 5 all.
Oh my god, I brought up the fucking rear end.
You have.
What's up,
and
son?
And I have to appeal to our listeners. Enough of the charity votes. It's now even.
Fuck off.
Can we now vote on
Everybody Loves Waymond. It's on, man. It's on.
It is definitely
Thank you, folks, for understanding and not listening to this crackhead next to me.
Okay.
Damn, that was painful.
Ba-bah.
Netflix and Swill, Dan and Caleb, Dan right. in particular, had said, ahead of this week's show, he needs you to have rewatched this or watched the remake of The Saint for this week's episode where we're doing originals versus remakes. You can answer that later whether you did or didn't.
I will.
Yeah, good. He said this is literally the perfect time.
Mm.
Then from relatively new listener, I think maybe first time listener, Varda Callisto, who wrote in last week with her suggestions of the most overrated films. Then she listened to our episode, and here's what she had to say. When I invited her to provide a little bit of a critique.
Okay,
you cunts. What the fuck was Dirty Dancing doing anywhere near this list? Nobody puts Baby in the Corner. Guardians 2, Napoleon Dynamite, Donnie Darko? Oh, yes. And Star Wars Anything is shit. But we already knew this.
No, we didn't. What the hell? What's going on here?
Thanks, Varda. Oh, dear me. And to wrap it up, then, we have a email. In fact, two emails to quickly go through. The first is from the Master Debaters. Here is their most overrated movies list. It's all three of them putting their heads together. Number 10, The Matrix. 9, Predator. 8, True Lies.
My God. 7,
Desperado. 6, Reservoir Dogs. Toffer.
Is this overrated movies he's saying?
Yes.
Dude!
And then he wrote, just fucking with you. Number 10.
All right, good. All
Guardians
right, good.
Of the Galaxy 2, Come At Me. Mm. 9, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. This one is all Michael from the show. Michael. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, by the way, was my Father's Day present. So eat a dick, Master Debaters. Number 8, Wall-E. 7, The Omen Original. 6, Scarface. 5, American Hustle. That's a good call. American
Whoa,
Hustle.
I don't know. I love
overrated
that movie. Overrated
as all buggery. 4, Hunger Games. Is it overrated or just the fan girls and boys love it? 3, all those fucking Harry Potter films. Fuck them all, by the way.
I haven't seen any still.
British podcast, which is particularly funny.
Very much.
Number 2, A Clockwork Orange. Yes. And number 1, this hurts.
I'm looking at it now.
Steal yourselves, people, and then head on over to the Master Debaters on Twitter to complain like buggery Jaws.
Oh.
Toffer found it very boring and didn't like any of the characters very much. Fuck Jaws.
Good lord. That's then shots fired right there.
That is massively shots fired. Then we've had for a few weeks now, we did a little community or a little competition through our Word Salad Productions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Jennifer Hicks won.
Yes.
And she gets to choose an episode of the countdown. So here is what she has chosen. Top 10 most miscast roles.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a very good one.
That's a real good one.
Thank you for that, Jen. Here's what she had to say about last week's episode. She went, argy bargy, never heard of it.
Oh, come off it, Jen. You've definitely heard this if you're an Australian.
Sausage Party, do Aussies just not see it as that racist because we don't know much about American history? I didn't have a problem with
it. I would have to say, I think you're exactly on point there because that's what's going on. I was very surprised to find
Dan and Caleb were
like, this is them. Oh my God, I had no idea. But mind you, I'm not very sensitive as a man.
Once again, referencing last week's episode, if you missed it, I still, Paul, what the fuck? Usually I agree with you, but Jurassic Park belongs on no negative list. Dishonor on you, dishonor on your cow.
That's what lost you, that one.
Yeah, I reckon it might have been. And I still like The Fifth Element, You Can't Change My Mind, also reference to my list.
Boom, nice work.
Lord of the Rings, I sat through all extended editions. Clearly, I had nothing else to do in high school. That one's at you, Wayne. And this one, a little bit of support for me. Arrival, I turned it off after 45 minutes, so I can't even give an opinion besides boring.
Jen, you got to give this one another shot, okay? Don't I know bother, you're not Jen. A girl like me,
don't,
all right?
Just but don't bother.
No, it's great. You got to see the ending.
Okay, that's the end of our recap this week. Thanks to everybody who gets back to us regarding our episodes. Let's move on now to a review of a film called The Hitman's Bodyguard.
I am Catwoman. Hear me roar.
You're quite a girl, Pussy.
Hey, Shakeners, it's Ian Huge Footlong Johnson here with Tom Com.
Howdy.
And Alex Duty Dudorino.
Ahoy.
From Shaken Not Nerd. We're a podcast martini mixed with a dash of movies, a drop of comics, a shot of games, and 80% alcohol. So join us as we discuss topics such as the history of Nintendo, what Batman could learn from James Bond, Shark Week, and mucho grande more. So you can find us on all the good podcasting platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So come shake things up with us at Shaken Not Nerd.
Shocking. Positively shocking.
Life is a highway and it's mighty fucking long.
Mighty fucking long.
Full of twists and turns, so you know shit's gonna go wrong.
Shit's gonna go wrong.
You can slip.
You can slip. The Hitman's Bodyguard, directed by Australian Patrick Hughes.
Oh, really?
Written by Tom O'Connor and starring Ryan Reynolds, Samuel L. Jackson, Gary Oldman, Salma Hayek, and from Daredevil, and now Defenders, Elodie Young.
Mm.
It was made for, what do you reckon, Wayne? What was the budget on this baby?
We got some two big ass stars. We got quite big set pieces, a lot of explosions. I'm going to go with 60.
Not a bad guess, and I would have thought way more expensive than what I'm actually reading here. $30 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so this is a mid-range film.
Oh, it looked very good.
That has thus far turned over $68.4 million. So
nice.
Absolute success. It's made its money back. People who backed this one are on a winner.
Good to hear.
It has been critically mauled.
Has it now?
Yes.
I have heard rumblings and stayed away from them.
Mm. Yeah. I didn't read too much about it. I made my own opinion up, and as we mentioned at the top of the show, we saw it separately. But let our listeners know what this one's about.
It's about the world's one-time top protection agent, Rai Ren, who is called upon to guard the life of his mortal enemy, Sam Jack. He's one of the world's most notorious hitmen. So basically, it's a buddy cop move, but they're not cops, movie that they're thrown together, action, you know. And they're basically set from England to The Hague, and they encounter all sorts of high-speed car chases, outlanding, you know, boat chases, and just Eastern European people. So
they're not even Eastern Europeans, they're in Amsterdam.
Oh, you know, just dictators. Yeah. There you go. How you know?
Where did I say he's from? Belarus? Was that where...
oh, that's a real place?
Gary Oldman's character is from?
Yeah, by the way, Gary Oldman, dude. That was unbilled. I was like, holy shit, it's Gary Oldman.
Wasn't unbilled.
I didn't know he was in the movie.
Oh, you didn't know, but he was definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not on the... Okay, I get it.
Yep. Okay, well, there it is then, Wayne. What are your initial thoughts? Non-spoilery, first of all.
Absolutely. Now, you say that the critics have savaged somewhat this movie. Mm. I don't see it, man. I thought it was fucking dope.
Nice.
I thought this movie was real good, okay? Now, like I said, it's basically like The Last Boy Scout, kind of like, you know, that
yes.
kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a hard R, so there's people getting killed when they could have just gotten knocked out. A couple of very, kind of, quite dark bits for a thing like this, but it made it more real, made it hit more. I think it's basically what a summer movie should be. Like, it promised exactly a few things. It delivered on most of those things. I thought that I don't know if what people were looking for with this movie, but it gave what it promised. So I thought it was this shit.
Well, I'm genuinely surprised. It's been a while since we've agreed. I thought this was
You did too.
Damn
I
good
expected
fun.
You to hate it.
No.
Really?
Yep. Damn good fun. Look, right. I'm not going to say this is a great film. It's not.
No, but it wasn't really aiming to do that. It was aiming to entertain you for that.
Agreed.
Whatever. You know what I mean? And it did that, and I walked away with, I laughed genuinely. The whole cinema laughed a lot.
Yeah, look, I laughed quite a few times in this movie, and there was quite a few chuckles too.
Yep.
But for the most part, it all plays off the, you know, opposite chemistry of Ryan Reynolds playing this very straight-laced, obviously very good-looking guy's fallen on hard times versus Darius Kincaid, so Samuel L. Jackson's character, who is just larger than life and just, I don't give a fuck, man.
And that was fine.
They're colliding of worlds. And of course, in all of these films, it's like the sun coming up in the morning. You know, they'll start out antagonistically. They're going to come to begrudgingly respect each other and probably kind of like each other by the end.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens.
Well, this is the thing. This is old school. And this movie should be viewed as such. Okay.
I don't know if it should be viewed that way, but I agree. It's very much a throwback to the 80s, both
totally.
In terms of the violence that you've talked about,
mm-hmm.
as well as its structure, mm-hmm. as well as its predictability.
Yes.
There is nothing that's going to surprise you about this movie other than the fact it's better than people are saying.
Yes. And even like, because Ryan Reynolds he's best when he's allowed to be funny. Okay. Like in Blade Trinity, someone told me, you think we said that he was too funny and it didn't suit the tone of the film. That's not this movie. This movie, he's genuinely making jokes and they're coming off for the most part.
But they're bouncing off each other really well.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Samuel L. Jackson's, like I said, larger than life, having fun with everything, even though he kills people as you learn through the film. He's just not killing anyone. He will only take certain contracts.
Yeah, bad guys.
Yeah.
Makes you like him.
Just even there's a bit in the trailer, which it's not a spoiler because it's in the trailer, but where they are on a bus full of nuns.
Yeah.
And Rai Rai is sitting there looking like, oh, kill me now.
But they're all
singing. And Samuel Jackson's singing with the girl, with the nuns. And
yeah.
I'm like, that's just perfect. It's just, it's not that funny, but it's a great little
And it only lasted for 10 seconds or something. 15 seconds. Yeah, like that sort of thing. So it was fine. It was just, okay, let's do that. And then it'll be a good shot for the trailer. That was good. No, this was, I'm actually, so I thought you would be like an ass with shit.
Saw it opening night here in Australia and thought it was going to be pants. And I guess maybe my lowered expectations helped.
Mm.
But I came out of that going halfway through, like, this isn't bad. What are people?
I don't know why everyone's having a problem with it.
Look, like, I do have some problems and we'll get to that in the spoilers.
Okay.
It's not a great film, but it achieves exactly like you said, what it wants to achieve, which is to entertain. It has some great action set pieces in it.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the Amsterdam chase scene was magnificent.
Action was filmed really well, I thought.
I think Patrick Hughes, who did a really great little smaller budget Australian film called Red Hill. If you haven't seen that film, it's like a Australian Western set contemporary times with Ryan Quantum.
Yeah, yeah.
Good film. Right. Very solid. His only other directing gig between that film and this one is The Expendables 3, which I will never watch on principle. So as far as I'm concerned, Patrick Hughes is 2 for 2.
Yeah, and plus he probably learned how to shoot action on Expendables 3. Yeah. So it's good. It's nice. It's well done.
Yeah, it's well shot. There's a couple of really good scenes in it. Not Atomic Blonde level of amazingness in terms of...
No, but like...
But the film is better. I'm going to come up right now.
Yes, I agree. It's a more enjoyable film. Atomic Blonde
because as much as it's predictable, it flows in a understandable way.
Yes.
Too many characters in Atomic Blonde just aren't making sense.
Yep, I agree.
We talked about back then. But anyway, it's probably not fair to compare two different type of genres of film.
Yeah,
but
you know.
Nevertheless, there it is. All right, should we get into spoilers?
Let's do it. Spoilers. Okay, you know what was really cool about this shit? How friggin' awesome Ryan Reynolds was. For me, okay? Okay. And I don't mean just awesome as an actor. I love that guy. Right? No doubt. No doubt.
A little too much.
A lot. There's a lot of I would suck his dickness going on. But the character itself, right, is actually the consummate professional and is actually really great at his job and kicks ass and looks good doing it. So I love that whole thing. There wasn't a bit where... Yeah, because like even... Get this, right? This is an odd reference, but the movie Get Smart with like fucking Steve Carell in it.
I raised an eyebrow very high.
Yes, he did. He cocked an eyebrow. But I actually liked that movie a lot. Get Smart movie was great. And you know why? It's because at lots of shots within the show, Get Smart, Maxwell Smart was actually awesome. He was actually kicking ass and doing good. No, it was good, motherfuckers. Give it another try. Well, I'm just saying to you, it's a lot better than you remember. Anyway. No, it is. It fucking is. Fuck you. So just seeing him take out the sniper and all that sort of shit, that's just cool, man. Everyone wants to see that. And then Samuel Jackson's like the other kind of fly-by-the-seat-of-the-pants but somehow never dies kind of guy.
He's harder to kill than a cockroach.
Your crush, Salma Hayek, is in this? Your thoughts, Paul.
Yeah, look.
She got to be what, 50 now?
She looks great for her age.
She looks great.
Not knocking that at all. She obviously carries off the fiery Latino tempered.
Wait, how can she be? She can't be that old. When we lusted after her, it was from Desperado.
Yeah, she's
and we
at
were
least
like,
50.
Yeah?
At least.
Fuck, we're old. All right.
Yep. She carries that off really well.
She does?
So I have no problems with that. Arguably, she's on screen for too long and it slows down the film and we could pair back her scenes very easily. Not the flashbacks. Flashbacks with her and how Samuel.
Oh, that was all cool. That was cool.
Kincaid met her was awesome.
Hmm.
And even the very end scene in the film, awesome.
Yeah.
But too much time with her in a jail cell.
I laughed at a couple of things that she said.
I laughed a couple of when she losing the shit at the agents and whatever else.
Yeah, and then they put a fart joke in there.
Yeah.
They put a fart joke. You're always going to win me with a fart joke, everyone. So that's cool. But
anyone else shocked? No.
Yeah, I know.
My other problem with the film, while we're on that topic, if I can put it that way, is the fact that this film should have ended when they got to the courthouse in wherever the hell it was in Europe and testified. And maybe there should have been some moment where Gary Oldman's character breaks out or tries to do something. But the plan that evolved at that point and the shitty, shitty ending to some of the threads was awful. It was almost like a fourth act and it was completely unnecessary and it was such a letdown after what came before it.
Do you think so? You think it sort of ended weak a little bit?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I was actually hoping for, I don't know why, I was hoping for Samuel Jackson to keep Gary Oldman alive so you could actually face justice.
Really liked the way that based on earlier discussions in the film that Michael, is that his name in the movie? Ryan Reynolds dives in front and takes a bullet for his client.
Yeah.
And that was great.
Yeah, good. Exactly. No, that was
and
good.
It probably should have just finished there.
Well,
maybe with Darius getting a gun and shooting Gary Oldman dead. Bang, done. Finished.
Well, if you didn't advance beyond that, you wouldn't get to see Sam Jackson like breaking out
we can still break out. Still be arrested at that point and say, thank you, you've...
I find myself interested in what happened to Ryan Reynolds after having gotten shot.
He lays there.
Yeah, but like, what's the comeuppance? Does the girl get back with him? Well, you know, I wanted to know all that shit.
So his girlfriend and who brings him back into it is Elodie Young's character, mm-hmm. Jung's character. She disappears really after the first act, apart from playing what basically is the only down-to-earth realistic role in this movie. So she's kind of like all his other characters are larger than life. Mm. Gary Oldman's really evil villain and obviously Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson's characters and Selma Hayek for that matter. So she's the one going, what the fuck are you talking to me about this for now? Which was great.
Yeah,
that exactly. was a great little anchoring moment.
Yes, they had to shoot that down, right? Because he was being a bitch about it and saying, like, here's my feelings and whatnot. And she's like, the fuck?
Just get him here and stop fucking talking to me.
Yeah, which that was cool. allowed you to sort of like Ryan Reynolds as well.
Yeah.
So you're like, nah, no, he's a charm machine, man. He's the next Bob Downey Jr.
That's what they did. They did very well. They allowed his charm to come through. They allowed Samuel Jackson's sort of foul mouth, kind of, larger than lifeness to shine through. And it works. The chemistry between them is very good. You believe by the end when they get into this good place with each other. And Gary Oldman's wasted. He's in like three scenes.
I don't know about that. Because like Gary Oldman, first of all, I didn't know Gary Oldman was in it. So when he turns around, I'm like, oh, holy shit. And then he was taught to do, be this menacing fucking president, whatever, Russian dude. And he nails it. I thought it was really, really good. And even towards the end, I was fine with that.
Okay.
I was wasted.
Yeah, I thought
it wasn't like
it was muted. Put it that way.
Perhaps. But in a lot of scenes.
Look, if Leave Your Brain at the Door action fair is what you're after, you could do no worse.
And that's exactly how you should walk into this movie.
No better than this film, I should say. Yes, that's a much better way of putting it. Sorry.
Yeah, this is like a comedy date film, I think.
Good fun times.
Definitely.
This is going to be a guilty pleasure for me going forward. I can absolutely tell you.
Yeah. I liked enough of it that it would be the type of shit that I would watch again.
Oh, I'd definitely watch this movie again. No problem.
Yeah, right? Because it's fucking fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recognize its shortcomings. I can see where it falls over. Like, again, Samuel Jackson's 69 years old.
I was just going to ask you, how old is he?
69. And
this guy's pushing 70.
His action scenes are heavily edited, as they had to be.
I didn't
know.
No,
69-year-old.
Can move like that, absolutely.
But yet they make up for it with Ryan Reynolds scenes because he is, I guess, about our age, give or take, maybe a little younger. And so he can still throw a punch and roll over a desk and do all that.
Yeah. No, exactly.
The best action scene in the film is, there is edits in it, but a one shot on him following and fighting the big bad guy who's been chasing
him. Was the shit. Yeah. That was really, that's why I liked about it, because you're like, hey, he kicks ass, so you trust him. So then you can like him and trust him. And it's just, I don't know, it's a better experience.
Yeah. And he's emotionally stunted. He's got major
issues.
But
funny while he's doing it,
but
so it's funny.
That plays out through the film and plays out to, a satisfying conclusion. I've thought about this a long time.
You have.
I forgive you.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm surprised you dug it.
Yeah, well, look, I dug it, like I said, with caveats, but it's a definite approval from me. Definite. Go and see this film. Don't believe the highfalutin critics. Fuck them. This film is good.
What's your score?
My score is 65.
Wow. That's huge for you. Mine is 76.
Whoa. Yeah.
76. Because I like the shit out of it. Yeah, that's why I asked
for it. Fair enough, man. All right. Well, there we go. Two definite recommendations from us for The Hitman's Bodyguard. After this Pod and Family and Network promo break, we're going to be back then with our countdown of the best original and or remade films.
Word.
What up? This is Dina Marie, the host of the Twisted Philly podcast.
There's more mischief, mayhem, and nefarious goings-on in the city of brotherly love than Billy Penn could have ever imagined. We've got it all here on the Twisted Philly podcast. True crime, haunted history, the coolest and creepiest places to visit. Welcome to Twisted Philly.
You don't have to be from Philadelphia or Pennsylvania, for that matter, to get into this show. You just need to like some seriously weird, twisted shit. Plus, listening to me gush about the places I love to go, the history I love to tell, and the really sick, twisted crimes we've had going on here since back in the Victorian era. So come sit a spell with me in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. You can find me on iTunes and all the other major podcast apps.
Which are better, the original films or the remakes on which they are based? That's the question we're going to answer today for you on this, the 127th episode of The Countdown.
Yeah, huh?
And it's our third edition of the Versus format, which was introduced by good friend, occasional co-host on the show, Jared.
Yeah.
We're pitting them against each other. So the pool of films that we can choose from for this top 10 countdown is any film that's been remade or the actual remake itself. And then what we do is we inversely score them. So if we pick it at number 10, it scores a point. If we pick it at number 1, it scores 10 points. and then we pull them up to see if it's original or a remake.
You don't have to worry about any of this shit, people.
And we crown a winner. Which reminds me, I need a piece of paper.
Oh, wait.
So that's how we roll. Wayne, get all that?
Yeah, here's the thing. I may have misunderstood the brief slightly, but not in such a manner that it will be any kind of problem. But I chose movies where I had seen both the original and the remake, and I was like going to throw up, this is the set of movies, and this is the one that won, as in the original or the remake.
What are you, a fucking moron?
No, I think it's a completely understandable little sort of,
I know we've only done two of these versus episodes. Not 127.
Look, asshole, I don't think about this shit after it's over. Okay, I don't remember shit, all right?
So in other words, you didn't look at all originals and remakes as we discussed last week.
I mean, I think the list is still going to rock because, like, it'll be fine. But yes, no, not every single one available. Just the ones I'd seen, like, both of.
Okay.
But there's still some class in here. So don't you worry about that. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine, people. It's going to be fine.
Ah, dear.
It's going to be fine.
Dear me.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Fuck your stupid soundboard. I could fuck this list up 8 times and still be better than that ass board.
All right. Well, why don't you start with your qualified list?
All right. Here we go. Now, throughout the week, Caleb had recommended that I watch a particular movie because...
It was actually Dan, I believe.
Was it Dan? Yes. I'm sorry. One of the Swill guys.
Yep. Netflix and Swill.
Yes. The movie is The Saint.
Yeah.
Now, the reason for anyone who hasn't heard this, is that I think The Saint is the most rewatchable movie
of
in the history
all
of time.
Time.
Exactly. Got a lot of heat for it. Everyone's up my butt about it. So I had to watch this remake of The Saint, which is currently on Netflix, called The Saint. Now,
imaginatively titled.
Oh my God. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll dial this up. Click. Right? Holy shit. Holy shit. First of all, the budget for this movie must have been, what, 10, 20 bucks tops, right? It looks like an MOW, like a TV movie. It's not fucking good, hey, right? It starts in Russia, in the most un-Russian looking place ever, for real. Like,
dudes with 10-gallon hats walking past.
Dude, it's like, they were supposed to be in this outside some Russian embassy, and they walk in. First of all, it's like bright sunshine. This was clearly shot in California or somewhere else, right? And there's American cars, like, in the background. It's, like, ridiculously bad, right?
Okay.
And it then goes on to be this really flimsy shit spy crapness story, run-of-the-mill, though I will say Roger Moore is in it. So they clearly made this before he died.
Okay.
This is a horrible swan song for the man.
That would be really awkward if he was already dead and he's still in it.
And also quite macabre.
Inappropriate.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, but, yeah, so, I mean, shit. Dude, it's a piece of shit. But The Saint is my number 10, the original.
All right.
So original is number, that's the score.
That's 1 point for the originals then with The Saint.
That's right, bitches. The Saint is great.
Yeah, okay.
Fuck y'all.
Sure.
Fuck y'all.
My number 10 is a film I've spoken about before on the podcast. I don't think it's ever made your list in any way, shape, or form, and it bloody well should.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Korean original of Old Boy.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yes. Look, this
is... The Park Chan-wook film. So much better than the Spike
Shit,
Lee
I
joint.
I forgot about that, and I have seen them both. Fuck, I should have put that in here. Shit. All right, that's a good choice. God damn it.
Thank you. Everyone knows this film, and if you haven't, you should see the original. Don't bother with the Spike Lee version. It's inferior in every way, shape, or form. In fact, it's quite anger-evoking for those of us who love the first one.
I know. By the way, does the Spike Lee one finish the same way as the original?
Vaguely speaking, yes.
The big twist happens?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, same basic twist.
Okay.
Yep.
Right, well, my number 9 is a movie that I've always liked, but I fear maybe also like unpopular with most people. The movie is The Thomas Crown Affair.
Oh, yeah.
You remember the show?
Yep, I do.
Okay, so it's Pierce Brosnan and Rene Russo and Dennis Leary, and it's basically a remake of an old, old fucking like movie, Steve McQueen movie, in fact, where it's about a billionaire who basically puts together a heist. In this case, art in the original one, money. And it's a classy-ass movie, man. This came along just when, like, in the middle of Brosnan's Bond kind of phase, where it's like, oh, we don't get a Bond movie this year. But we kind of do with this fucking Thomas Crown Affair shit. It's basically that kind of character. And I always dug it. And on a personal note, Rene Russo is naked in it.
On a personal note?
Yeah. It was like, I was, oh my God.
So, I slapped the meat flute a few times over to that particular...
It's too long ago to remember, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Every chance. All right, so that's a remake that gets...
That is the remake that gets
ninth
it.
Spot,
that's
and therefore
right.
2 points.
Two points for the remake so right. far.
Well, I'm sticking with the original for my number 9, and this may well be low for your list, but I'm pleased it's made my list after a lot of thought. It is the Catherine Bigelow original Point Break.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, this is low as shit, man. Well, I take it that's right, you did not like the remake. I actually liked it more than you.
The remake was one of the biggest pieces of shit of last year.
No, man, I like that shit. I mean, look, that's right. No, I didn't like it. It was a bit crap, but it could have been a lot worse.
No.
Well.
No, it couldn't. It made me even think that Teresa Palmer couldn't act, and I've since seen her in some really, really good films. So that film was a piece of shit. The original Keanu Reeves / Patrick Swayze.
It is a modern classic.
Not so modern anymore, but it is a classic film.
Well, sure. I mean, but yeah, kind of his bad acting. It's fucking great. It became a feature of the film. I love it.
Yeah. He plays the rookie cop who,
Dude,
really well. Some great action sequences in this film as well.
The chase, the foot chase with the fucking Trudy. That's the bomb right there.
Yeah. Great flick. My number 9.
Wow. Well, my number 8 would have been on my list whether I had understood the brief or not. It's... The movie is The Italian Job.
Oh,
the remake.
What?
Yes, the remake.
Fuck,
this may ruffle
movie.
A feather or two out there.
What the hell?
No, I think you're fine. No, I think you're... No. This is a shit fucking sound. How long is this fucking sound, you fuck? Fuck this shitty board. You love the cock. Fuck it. Anyway, back to The Italian Job. Fucking shit.
I just started talking like, yeah, this will end. No, it didn't.
It didn't fucking end. It's a piece of shit. Anyway. The original Italian Job, the Michael Caine one, sure, it's a classic and everyone's all about the minis and whatnot, but this new thing directed by F. Gary Gray with Marky Mark and Charlize Theron and Ed Norton, so much a better movie. If you don't pay attention to any of the nostalgia or the this or that, whatever, this is a more interesting, action-packed, fun, well-crafted, good-ass movie. And, you know, Seth Green, it's good. It's good. I was always a big fan, and so for me, the remake wins.
Yeah, I don't...
Did you not like this movie?
No. Nah.
Really?
I thought it was extraordinarily average.
I've seen it like a lot of times, man. Really? Shit.
Not my cup of tea, but I can't compare because I don't think I've seen the original. So
really?
I can't tell you what I think is better or worse.
But trust me, this is better.
Okay. Can I assume something at this point? Let's put our cards on the table.
What?
Are you hoping remakes win?
Fucking A!
Oh my God.
Of course! Fuck the past! What have we ever learned from it? No, I think that...
Listener, I implore you. Listeners. We've come a long way together, and I know that you've got Wayne back in the competition.
No.
But just what he said there should be enough.
No, listen up.
Originals are the best, Wayne.
They're not always the best.
As a general rule.
Fuck off!
I hope originals
not
win.
I hope remakes wins, bitches, because think about it, all right? It's actually in your interest as a human in the current economy to like remakes better, okay?
What?
Yes. You can't monetize or employ people with shit that already happened. It's a whole, like, it should actually kind of boost
Stop
your capitalist...
Stop turning into a motherfucking marketing
bitch,
slash
business please,
bullshit.
I'm telling you
this
about this.
Movie
Exactly. If you like movies, you should like or understand or at least, you know, support the movie business, and remakes put asses in seats. So it's... And also, it allows you to... You know, give new interpretations of shit, like a singer who does the acoustic version of his otherwise produced hit.
What?
Okay?
No.
Fuck you. I want remakes to win. That's right, bitch.
Oh, God.
That's right, bitches.
It's awful. It's hard to believe.
No, I think it's fine. Fuck you.
Ridiculous. My number 8 is, however, a remake. Having said all that, it is by far the superior of the two films. Not that that's the only reason I included it. It is one of the best horror movies from the 80s. It is the Blob remake.
Really?
Yeah. Fantastic flick. Directed by Chuck Russell. Frank Darabont was heavily involved. I think he co-wrote the film as well. And it stars Kevin Dillon.
Who's that?
Johnny from...
Oh, Johnny Utah. I mean,
Johnny Drama from Entourage.
Nice.
Shawnee Smith's in it as well. And then Jeffrey DeMunn, who's in every Frank Darabont film ever. And it's just... an incredibly awesome, practical horror flick with some really gory, gooey deaths. And
is this a remake of the Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin, The Blob? Or am I thinking
it's a
else?
Remake of Steve McQueen.
Oh, yeah, I think
it's from I think it's Steve McQueen. I think from way, way back in the 50s.
Ah. Yeah.
And of course...
of course it's going to be better then.
Yeah, from 1988, The Blob.
All right. My number 7. You know what? These would have toned up my list anyway. So I totally... The brief is fine. It is La Femme Nikita, or Nikita, back in the day. which was remade with Bridget Fonda as what was called Point of No Return everywhere else, but over here, the assassin. Mm-hmm. Okay. And my winner is the original.
Whoa.
That's right. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Bridget Fonda version, but when I looked up the original, I was expecting some, I knew it was a French film or whatever, but I was expecting some underlit, grainy European thriller film, but this movie looks like an American film. The second I looked at it, I was like, holy shit, look at this. And when it came out, Luc Besson got shit for that, man. He was like this, you know, French filmmaker making American-looking movies, and everyone was like, yeah, this is bullshit, this is American, whatever. But this thing endured as a result. Because when you look at it, it's actually really nicely lit and looks just like a contemporary, at the time, film, which I dug. And I didn't expect to like it more than the remake, but I totally did, and it's awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
No arguments. I've seen them both. I think La Femme is, Nikita is a better film.
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with The Assassin. It was just okay.
It was Hollywoodized, which, again, I don't mind, but this was just better overall.
Yeah, grittier, so, yeah. For sure. Okay, all right. Well, nice choice there. My number seven is a film that needs no introduction. It is the Marty Scorsese Departed.
This is low, man. This is low as shit. Wow. Really? Yeah. What's better? Oh, fuck. What's better than this?
A lot of films are better than Departed.
Oh, I know what you fucking put up.
Remember, because we're coming at this differently. Like, yeah, yeah. So, yes, there is a couple which you should be obvious to regular listeners of the show, which are going to be high on
Even
my list.
So, this one seems low.
Great, great movie with an all-star cast. Jack Nicholson killing it. Leonardo DiCaprio killing it, too.
Mm. No, everyone in this movie was fucking great, man. That was the whole thing about it.
Like, if there's a weak link, it's Matt Damon. I don't think he's as good in the movie.
Really?
Yeah, acting-wise. Like, I think he didn't have as much to do. I'm not saying he's bad, just against some stellar opposition.
Everything in this movie fired. And the thing I loved most of all was Alec Baldwin.
Ah.
Alec Baldwin was the shit. He's always the shit, but he was really the shit in this movie for a bit part. So,
I thought Mark Wahlberg was just probably his best role.
Oh, yeah. No, no doubt. That was awesome, too. Out of interest. So, Infernal Affairs was the original.
Yeah.
What do you think of that one?
I have seen it, but I can't really remember it.
Like, yeah.
It was on and I watched it on SBS one night.
If you watch it now, anyone who decides to go back and look at it.
And there's like four of them, isn't there?
There is, yeah. But there's one particular one where the same bit with Martin Sheen and that all happens.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
But it's done. It's not as good.
Well, it's not Martin Scorsese directing it.
That's right. So that's, you know, they've got that. But it is still really good to watch.
Yeah, I'm on a bit of an Asian cinema kick at the moment. Really? So I do plan on getting to the Infernal Affairs films in due course.
Worthwhile. My number six is a movie I just love. It's Cruel Intentions. That's right. I loved this movie. And this movie is a remake of Dangerous Liaisons, essentially, which is made from a novel that went a whole bunch of ways. But I always liked this movie. It's Sarah Michelle Gellar, Ryan, what's his name? And what?
Philippe,
yes. Do you not like this movie? I thought it was fucking great. You were just wasting time trying to find a bullshit fucking... That's why he wasn't reacting, everyone. I was out in the fucking woods.
My face was doing all this reacting.
Yeah, we're a fucking audio podcast, bitch. No one hears your face. So
I'm sure they can hear my disdain as I consider this
choice. You being a bitch.
Really? Cruel Intentions?
Cruel Intentions is great. It was cool at the time. I liked that dude's car. And then, you know, I didn't really dig Reese Witherspoon, but whatever, he married her, that's fine. Sarah Michelle Gellar was great in it as the anti-Buffy, being a complete bitch. And also, I think I just enjoyed it more than Dangerous Liaisons, because I was kind of that age when I saw it, of the characters, so I connected with it more. But I still think it's a good movie. No?
That's okay.
Really?
It just never crossed my mind.
Man, it's like one of the first few I thought of.
It's like, I don't know, if we did a top 10 most pedestrian films, this would be on my list.
It was stylish. I dug it. What can I say?
Aside from the kiss scene, obviously, which we talked about.
You know, that's not even my favorite bit, but yeah, sure. Chicks kissing is nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was more the, well, like everything, it was the way the movie felt to me.
Okay.
So, well, there you are.
That could
perplexed,
be the one that gets remake over the top. Just consider that, if you will. My number six is a bona fide classic. No one's going to argue with this. It is the original Ghostbusters.
They didn't remake the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Was it not a... it wasn't a sequel, was it?
No, it wasn't a sequel. They started with the trailer.
Yeah, they tried to. Yeah, you're right. Okay, this is a... Okay, I guess... it's a remake. Fair enough. Look, you know what? Fair enough.
Not that this is the definitive reason, but I went through a list of remakes, you know, by category and and Ghostbusters was on there.
Yeah,
so
you're right. It is a remake. Yep. Okay, fair enough.
I do hear where you're coming from. There's a bit of conjecture there now that I think about it, but...
No, I think you can get away with this one.
therefore, how could it not be on the list? I don't love this film the way that a lot of people seem to.
I do.
But I think it's magnificent, and I think it's very, very good for its time.
Dude, it's of its time. It is its time.
Yeah. Like, it's lightning in a bottle, like as totally. Proven by Ghostbusters 2.
I loved Ghostbusters 2.
Okay.
I love the shit out of it.
It's a film I plan to watch again. I'd like to watch it now with perhaps a bit more of a critical, apart from just how I felt when I was 12 watching it for the first time.
But you know who directed it? Ivan Reitman.
Oh, Ivan Reitman. Did Harold Ramis wrote it with Dan Aykroyd.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, okay, yes. So, yeah.
Who, as we know, is a genius. So, yeah.
He absolutely is a genius. And this is a great, great movie. And I'm not saying the remake / reboot, what do you want to call it, was okay. It wasn't as bad as a lot of people wanted to say.
No, I thought it was like, it did what, like, if you didn't think it was the Ghostbusters, you'd have enjoyed it fine.
So yeah. If you didn't have all that, I didn't think it was anywhere near as clever or as funny.
No. But it wasn't.
But it wasn't a train wreck.
Yeah.
Which people wanted to say it was.
No.
It was
Chris
not.
Hemsworth is good.
Yeah. So there we go. The original Ghostbusters for me at my number 6.
All right. Well, there's no arguing about my number 5 because it's Ocean's 11, son. You knew that was going to turn up on this list, right?
I totally knew it was going to be on your list. And
Now, I've talked endlessly about this show, so I won't crap on about it. What I will tell you about is the original. I take it you haven't seen the original, Paul?
No, but I've heard it's really, really
fucking
boring.
Oh, my God. It's actually, you might watch it out of like sort of stunt watching, okay? The original is the Rat Pack. It's Frank, it's Dino, it's Sammy, it's the rest of them, and they're basically knocking over 5 casinos. But it looks very much like a shit movie that you made in your 20s with your friends. Okay. Yeah, it looks a little bit
like who's done that?
I know. But except that they break into song every now and then. So, God. You know what I'm saying? Okay, this new thing is absolutely the winner.
No question it's a winner. The only question is it the best of the pool? So I think here's where the brief may go skewiff.
No, I think you'll be fine. We'll see. All right, so Ocean's 11 is my number 5. What's your number 5?
My number 5 is a film that needs to be on your list. If it's not on your list, you have wronged the world.
I see. Well, it depends if I
Paul Verhoeven's RoboCop.
Fuck, I forgot that review they did this. Oh my God, I forgot. I forgot this one. You're right. Jesus.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
How could you forget RoboCop?
I don't know. I looked through lots of lists of remakes. That is so messed up. Yeah, RoboCop.
I'm almost at a loss for words. I can't talk about RoboCop.
Oh my God.
We all know about RoboCop. It's a seminal piece of 80s action,
of course,
violent
it is.
Cinema. Paul Verhoeven with his European sensibilities coming to America and making this film, which really, really upset lots
Fuck,
and lots of people.
Fuck, that was a good choice. I should have chosen that.
And Peter Weller as the titular RoboCop. It's just awesome.
It is awesome.
There's
and
so many great things about this movie. We should just do a whole episode dedicated to a rewind review or whatever.
Good point.
That's enough. My number 5.
But you know what? The remake, right?
Awful.
It is awful. And like, because Michael Keaton was in it, I really wanted to like it. But it was fucking crap. Everything else had turned to shit about it. So I'm down with that. All right. My number 4 is Point Break. We're back to you.
Okay. All right. So fair enough there.
For the record, the original.
Oh, yes. Thank God. Okay. I'm glad that you did clarify that for us. My number 4 is a remake.
Radio.
It's one of the best remakes. It's a film we talk about all the time on this podcast. And it won't be on your list because of your misunderstanding the brief. And so it will be another tragic omission. It's the Arnold Schwarzenegger starring James Cameron vehicle, True Lies.
Fuck. Yes, it would have. Yes, it would have.
Based on or a remake of the 1991 French comedy film La Totale.
Which I have not seen. It wasn't on my list. No one's seen it.
I'm not saying it's better than La Totale. I'm just going to assume it is because it's amazing. It's one of my top 30 films
It'll be better.
Of all time.
Absolutely.
We talk about it all the time.
I think
a perfect blend of action.
Yeah.
Some laugh out loud comedy. Some incredible sequences. So well filmed. Tia Carrera is hot as all buggery in it. Even Jamie Lee Curtis as the frumpy housewife who becomes the sexy siren through it.
If you think about it, right, the reason this movie is so big and so like well-liked and so on is it made a spy comedy action, which is typically like your Spies Like Us type comedy, like which is like, tentpole film, whatever. It's flash in the pan. But he did it so well that it became like a classic because everything about it was awesome. So I don't know, man. It's like, this is the shit. I agree. And I wish I'd put it on there.
It's a bit of a deeper film as well when you look at it, just to say one more thing about it. And that is that it is a little bit of an indictment on relationships and how he was so married to his job that he let his wife kind of stray almost into Bill Paxton with a wonderful bit part.
Bill Paxton.
As the used car salesman.
That was the best thing.
Not the best thing, but it was a great
great things about it. Yeah.
First half of the film foil. So
totally.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on to another Arnie vehicle.
Okay. Just before you say it, can I give the update on the scores?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
It is close as fuck.
Is it?
With 26 points at this point, originals, remakes, 30 points. So given that we have 8s, 9s, and 10s to awards for our last three picks, it is anybody's game. So Wayne, you were mentioning your number 3 has an Arnold Schwarzenegger vehicle attached to it.
It does, and it's Total Recall.
That's a good pick.
Now, everyone knows this one, but I got to say, though, when the remake came out...
Can I assume that you are talking about
the original? I am talking about the original. When the remake came out and we saw the trailer for that, everyone thought it would be a stupid idea, but then the trailer came out and he did that sweet scene, like the one shot where he took everyone out in the room.
Yeah, the one shot's great. Pretty about the rest of the
literally,
minutes.
It is the only good thing about the fucking movie. Oh, shit, no wonder they used that. So, yeah, it was a crap piece of shit. And I think Colin Farrell actually said, like, he was banking on that thing making him the next biggest star in the world. Obviously didn't work out. So, yeah, Total Recall, the original.
No question, it's a better film. No question, it's an amazing film. Paul Verhoeven, again, right around this time at the
height. I know, right? This was his jam.
This sort of late 80s to Basic Instinct. These two films and Basic Instinct are like probably the best 1, 2, 3 hits of a filmmaker.
Absolutely, just retire on that. Boom.
Bam, yeah. Okay, well, that's my number 2, by the way.
Right.
So, right up there as well for me. My number 3, then, the one that we skipped, is the John Carpenter original Halloween.
Oh, I thought you were going to... Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so...
Halloween.
And I know, I think you watched it.
Yeah, I did watch it, but...
You love it.
No, I had completely forgotten about it by now. Yeah, I just can't even remember.
Not your kind of film.
This is Jamie Lee Curtis.
Again.
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's the young virginal babysitter, and Michael Myers returns to his hometown and at the scene of the crime where he killed his sister at the opening of the film. And it is one of the best slasher films ever made. It's incredibly atmospheric. Made on a shoestring budget, and it looks amazing. It opens with one of the greatest point of view shots in cinema history. So that's my number 2, 3, 3, Halloween.
Nice. I mean, it's fine. My number 2 is Killer, and it's a remake. And it's Casino Royale. Boom! Boom! Everyone, I think a lot of Bond fans think this is the best Bond film ever made. I certainly kind of do as well. But I have also seen the original David Niven one, and I don't think it's even considered canon because it was made from, I think this was Ian Fleming's first book, and the producer at the time wanted to do it. He had the rights to it, but he couldn't compete with the actual serious James Bonds, so he made it like a satire, and that ended up making it a complete piece of shit. So there's no two ways about it. Casino Royale, the remake, wins number 2.
Right. Well, yes, it doesn't surprise me that's high on your list. I know how much you liked it. And yeah, don't know if I've even seen the original Casino Royale. Who was in that one?
David Niven. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking from eons ago.
I'm not the Bond fan.
I just saw it on TV one time.
So fair enough. As we mentioned, my number 2 is Total Recall, which at this point then means originals are winning.
What?
Wayne.
No.
Wayne, what is your number 1? What is the best film that was ever remade or original?
The Departed.
The remake, damn.
Yeah, boy. The remake comes up. What's up?
Oh, my God. Yeah, look, it's a good pick. Obviously, it's on my list.
That's why
they're
low, man.
Okay. Sadly, my number. Well, we get into... number 1 is also a remake.
What is it? That means remakes win.
Remakes win 51-39.
Are
correct.
What is it?
It's The Thing.
Yeah, of course it's The Thing. I knew it would be The Thing.
It has to be The Thing.
Yeah.
John Carpenter's seminal.
That's how it is, man.
However, I'm pretty sure we need to redo this scoring system.
What? It's your scoring system.
It's flawed.
Why? Because you didn't get the result you want, Trump?
I'd never get the result I want. I need Putin to interfere.
Yeah,
and,
that's what we should do. We should get that hacked.
Yep. Yeah, The Thing's incredible. It had to be my number 1. Just nothing comes close to it on my list. Not even Total Recall. Not even Halloween.
Wow.
Yeah, so there it is. Let me just check this out here. Wayne, on his list of originals or remakes, went with 1, 2, 3, 4. Those very low down. His originals versus 6 remakes. I had 4 as well, but obviously you had yours higher up the list.
And you know what? I didn't even engineer that. I just went with what I liked better because I'd seen them both. So there you go. Remakes genuinely win, man. They genuinely win.
And, no, it feels wrong.
No, I think it feels fine. Feels fine.
I feel like I've betrayed.
Oh, it's great.
Cinema dum dum.
No, you were just honest and fucking
I'm
shit
sorry,
came down,
movie
man.
Lovers. I'm sorry for Wayne's choices.
Oh, don't be a bitch. It's your ass too. All right.
Honorable mention, sir.
honorable mentions were Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I was going to put, because I like the original, The Magnificent Seven, because I hated the remake, so that might have got you there. Red Dawn, the original was awesome.
Original for sure, yep.
Yep. The Mechanic, the remake, oddly.
I need to watch the Charles Bronson one again.
Yeah, and then DOA, which is a Dennis Quaid movie. Mm. The remake I like better.
Which was the first one?
DOA.
What was the remake?
DOA. They were both called DOA, man.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
The DOAs, Dennis Quaid one wins, and that's the remake.
That's right, the remake. Okay.
Well, for me, again, we didn't do this the same way because someone didn't understand the brief. So here's the one I left out, Dawns of the Dead. And I left it out because I could not decide which one. I didn't want to put both of them on the list because then people would be like, Paul, horror, zombies.
Oh, you couldn't pull that shit.
No. So I couldn't decide which one to put on because I like them both equally.
Really?
Even though they are very different tone.
It's because
films.
They're very different that you can like both equally.
Yeah, because the first one is incredible. 1978 film, slow shambling zombies. The sense of dread is palpable. It's plodding in pace almost deliberately, and it's a great sort of indictment on consumerism and all the rest of it, and with some great killer horror scenes and moments. And the remake is this balls-to-the-wall action film, basically, where the zombies run really fast, and we go from four major characters to about 20.
Mm.
And so, of course, lots more people get killed.
But you still like the original, even though it's a smaller scale and all that stuff.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, so I own them both, but they're both incredible films. Other ones I didn't quite manage to make the list, and a lot of them are horror. The Evil Dead, the original. Nightmare on Elm Street, the original. Fright Night, the original. Great mid-80s vampire.
I like that one, actually.
Yeah. The Hitcher, the original.
Oh, yes.
Red Dawn, the original. Poseidon Adventure, the original.
I see where this was going for you.
Wreck, the original.
But none of these made your list, and that's why you lost. Yeah, boy. Because the truth came out.
Should have left off one of these remakes.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to that. I don't even know what to call it. Disappointment.
No, let's I think just, it was fine, everyone.
Let's just go with that. Let's get a little bit of feedback then. And not too much from the listeners this week in terms of what they considered to be better or worse out of originals and remakes.
Listener
Starting with Dan from last week's show, Netflix and Swill. He said he couldn't decide if Avatar or Dances with Wolves was better. Thought was pretty damn good. Mackenzie Lambert, regular listener, good friend to the show. His favorite original films, Dawn of the Dead, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. His favorite remakes, The Thing, The Fly, great flick, and House of Wax with Vincent Price. From Gerald Morris, one of the hosts of Two Peas on a Podcast. Here are his, off the top of his noggin, he said, some of his favorite remakes, The Fly, Ocean's 11. 310 to Yuma.
Oh, I hated that fucking show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I couldn't get it.
What?
I did not like it. I was like, why is this considered good? Maybe I'll watch again.
Okay. And the Fright Night remake, which is
Colin Farrell.
Very, very controversial. And some of the originals that should never have been touched. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, The Karate Kid, and Elm Street.
Definitely for the first two.
James Spence said quite simply, Point Break is the best film that was ever remade.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Ashley from the Rabbit Ears podcast said True Grit.
Ah, I thought about that one.
And yeah, I'm assuming she meant the remake there because the John Wayne original is not that well held in regard. Joe Ketchum from the quote-unquote Guilty podcast. Dawn of the Dead is hard to top, but also like the Fright Night remake, The Departed.
Oh, really?
Ben-Hur, the original. That's a good point. That Ben-Hur remake is garbage.
Did you see it?
And then he said Star Wars 7. That counts as a remake of
No, it doesn't, Joe.
And he also said both the remake and original of 12 Angry Men was very, very good. From Nicole Davis, Night and Day, and its Bollywood remake, Bang Bang.
I didn't know that.
I did not know it was remade either. From Tifo Bot, who is one of the hosts of Fans on Patrol, Dawn of the Dead remake makes me cry harder than any romance ever has.
That's what?
Very
what is that?
Dawn of the Dead remake. She's saying that's a emotional film than most.
Very muff.
Weird Science DC said Point Break is better than any Fast and the Furious film.
No shit.
From Darth Sean, great friend of the show, regular contributor. They said, wow, this is another tough one, guys. So many I could choose from, but here's a few from the top of my head. The best originals, Total Recall, Ghostbusters, Willy Wonka, RoboCop, and Clash of the Titans. That's a good one. Clash of the Titans should have been on my...
Yeah, good point.
On my honorable mentions list, at least. The remake, John Carpenter's The Thing, Scarface, another 310 to Yuma vote, and Planet of the Apes, the recent films, not the abomination that was
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton's Marky Mark starrer. From Yelly, she said the original Dawn of the Dead beats the remake and John Carpenter's The Thing beats the original.
Sure.
From Geordie Davidson, Evil Dead and The Time Machine are the best originals. I mean, why would you remake garbage? And how often can you repeat good performances? In other words, what he's basically saying is remakes are up against it because they're already remaking
absolutely
something that was good, yet somehow we've crowned them better. I'm sorry, Geordie.
You see, remakes rely on a new audience.
He also said this, and I did not know it. Casablanca is better than the remake. Do you know what the remake of Casablanca is?
No.
It was called Barbed Wire.
Fuck off.
Apparently.
With Pamela Anderson.
Yeah. That is meant to be some kind of
what
remake. So he says, I haven't checked this out.
Look, if I could remember any remotely like of the plot of that fucking movie, I might be able to argue this, but that's really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Two more to wrap it up from Dylan Miles. Again, another great contributor to the show and a good friend. Here's the ones he's done a little bit of you. He's done the ones he prefers. Of the Day the Earth Stood Still, the original. The Thing is a better remake than The Thing from Another World.
Mm-hmm.
He went with Forbidden Planet over The Tempest. So Forbidden Planet being a remake of that.
Okay.
In terms of The Last Man on Earth versus The Omega Man versus I Am Legend, he went for I Am Legend.
Of course he would, because it's a great fucking movie.
Okay. From Scarface 1932 versus Scarface 1983, he went the remake. The Fly, both 56 and 86 versions, he went the remake. Now, Judge Dredd 95 versus Dredd 2012, he went the remake. Except I did read that they don't consider 2012 a remake at all. It's a reboot, completely restarting it. Nothing about this. They're meant to be the same. So that's from the comic book creator who consulted. He said they are two different worlds.
Don't even bother. I don't know shit about those people.
And that's it from Dylan.
All right.
Last one then from Duty Dutrum from the Shaken Not Nerd podcast, another member of our Podfix network. It wasn't great, but I didn't mind the Halloween and Friday the 13th and Nightmare remakes. Having Freddy as a darker character in the remake was an interesting change. Duty, just no. No, mate.
I'll take your word for that one.
And that is it for this week's Listener to Feedback. Thanks to everybody who gets back to
us
on the show and helps make this such an interesting, well, event for us. All right, Wayne, what are we doing next week then for episode 128 on The Countdown?
We're going to be reviewing It. I don't want to see this fucking movie.
Yes, you do.
I don't want to see it at all, man. But it's going to be scary, and I'm going to hate it, and it's going to be an interesting kind of show, because you'll see like what kind of a bitch I am, as if you didn't already know.
If I could get a camera, we're seeing an advanced screening, so if I could get a camera in there to film my interactions, I would, and then I would put it up on our YouTube channel.
Get fucked.
So let us know if you're interested in that. I can give you a blow-by-blow report.
You don't want to see none of that shit. It's nasty.
And on the back of that, we are doing the top 10 most disturbing films, which disturbing. I hope will make Wayne's list It. That's my genuine hope for this film.
You know, it could get there, I gotta say.
So next week's gonna be a very interesting show on that basis. The week after, for episode 129, we're gonna be reviewing American Assassin, the film starring Michael Keaton and Dylan
that
O'Brien.
Dude, I wanna say that.
Yeah, and we're going to do something completely unrelated in terms of a countdown. We're at that stage. Now, we're gonna be doing the best acting debuts. First time acting performances that blew everybody's socks off. That's going to be another big, big show.
That'll be fun. Okay, well, that's going to do it for us, folks. Thank you very much for joining us once again. Until next week, my name is Wayne.
My name is Paul. And we'll see
you
this
oh, fuck.
Has been The Soundboard.
The fuck off, Soundboard.
The line must be drawn here.
What the fuck is this bullshit?
No,
fuck this shit. Asshole.
We will see you, or at least hear from you,
cunt,
next week.
Something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
If there's something weird and it don't look good, who you gonna call?
Let's get a little bit of the social media out of the way with first today,
okay, sure.
Wayne, so that the new listeners can work out how to get in contact with us, because as you will hear, we are a very listener-based show as well.
Oh, you want me to say how to find us?
Hmm.
Oh, sure. You can find us on... Sorry.
Flawless.
Flawless. Flawless.
Like we've been doing this for 127 episodes.
Who knows, man?
You wouldn't know. The understanding, the way we just lock in on
that's
each other's
right.
thoughts.
He pointed at me and I went, what? So, yeah. All right.
So that's how we roll. Wayne, get all that?
My name is Wayne.
My name is Paul. And this has been The Soundboard.
The fuck off, Soundboard.
This fun, no fun.
See, I fucking drowned it out because it's a piece of shit. Fuck that shit. And when it's so long, I had to drown it out for 10 seconds. Fuck your Soundboard. It's a piece of shit. But thanks, everyone, for listening.
That was the most annoying noise in the history of the universe.
That's right, cunt face. And it's even better than your shitty Soundboard.
I'll put it on the opening.
Sorry for everyone.
The opening. I'll put it on the bloopers. We can't have you doing that. What? Just talk over it. Don't do the.
How about you just don't play the piece of shit sound, you fuck? How about that shit?
This was a podcast from the Podfix Network. Check out more shows like it at oddfixnetwork.com.